Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Waco Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr. Hosting the conversation is Sandra Sanchez, Assistant Opinion Editor of the Waco Tribune Herald. This program was recorded January 28, 2013, at the KWBU studios.
The Central Texas Leadership Series is sponsored by HEB, a Texas tradition for more than 100 years, serving and supporting of your neighborhood to enrich your quality of life. HEB, here everything's better.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Sandra Sanchez, Assistant Opinion Editor with the Waco Tribune Herald, and I'm talking today with Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr. Welcome, Mayor. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's talk a bit about your family history. You are from a family that has lifelong service to this community. Your father, Malcolm Duncan Sr., which many people know, was mayor and WISD school board president. Your grandfather was mayor. Yes. Your father-in-law, I understand, was also mayor. Your mother, Mary Ruth Duncan, who I'm sorry died in November of 2012, was a community leader with many credits. Did you always aspire to follow in their footsteps, too?
No, not at all. It was a matter of being shown by example, and you could make your own choices, but they certainly were good role models.
Well, now you had three other siblings, right, growing up. So take me through. I mean, was it required in your family, community service or involvement, or how did you end up like you are today?
I think the only requirement was to have a passion for what you do and to try to do your best for the community. I think we were all brought up with a deep appreciation for what this community meant to us and our family, and that we did have a civic responsibility if we stayed here. Of course, I'm the only one that stayed.
So your other siblings live out of the area?
Two in Austin and one in Taos.
So do you feel like they dropped the ball on you?
No, not at all. I don't think it's big enough for all of us.
What sorts of things did your other growing up get involved with? Were you
just normal kid stuff, you know, Little League and going on family vacations? We all six of us got in a car and stopped as infrequently as possible and went as far as possible until Mother couldn't stand it. And then we'd always go to the same place every year. We always went to Colorado. I was talking to my father last night. He's ready to go back next month. He continues to go up there, even though nobody else goes with him. But we just did normal stuff.
And a real sense of community, a real sense of home here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when I was born, we lived on a farm in Marlin, and we did that for about as long as Mother could take the rural life and killing the scorpions in the bathtub and thing. But we moved into town when I was about two or three, and this has been our only home.
So your mother sounds like a very tolerant woman.
Not at all.
Since taking office in May 2012, you have received a lot of high praise for your strong leadership abilities, namely a sense of collaboration with several other organizations and groups that's come about late, the MCC Board, the McLennan County Commissioners, and the WISD Board of Trustees recently met. That was unprecedented. You've also taken some criticisms for some initiatives you pushed, like to lower taxes back in September. Didn't go quite your way. I mean, how would you rate your term so far, your tenure so far, your leadership so far?
I think it's a lot more time-consuming than, you know, everybody told me that it was a full-time job, and I didn't believe them. I was going to show them. But it takes a lot of time to build relationships, and it's as much about building these relationships. The collaboration doesn't just happen on its own. Everybody speaks about it, but it takes a lot of work. It's just like any relationship at home or at work. The more time you put into building the relationship and the better you understand each other, the more you can get done.
So what methods have you learned that work or don't work when you're trying to sway other public elected officials or other leaders in the community?
I heard somebody, a really smart business guy, tell an audience one time, just don't take it personally. And I try to remember that. And the other thing is, I had a former partner who said, if you don't get where you want to go, just keep talking. So we continue to talk until we find a common ground. And it's amazing how, if you have the intent to reach a compromise and to find common ground, you'll find it.
Now, in November, you held an all-day-long goal-setting retreat with the city council. And I understand that it was one of the most structured events that they've had, that you really kind of pushed forward and encouraged all participation. Any kind of idea wasn't viewed insignificant. Do you think it was a success? And what kind of strategies did you employ to try to get the other council members to speak out with ideas?
It was a success if we can say a year from now or 6 months from now that we created some goals that we're tracking our progress on and we're actually making a difference in them. And we're trying to do that. We've been through our annual evaluations with all our staff, and one of our requests from – we have four council hires, the city manager, the city attorney, the city secretary, and the municipal judge. And we've asked each of them to come back within 6 months and give us a progress report on the things that we identified as the priorities for their department. And that was one of the things that came out of our retreat. The other thing is that we had a retreat last year that was it wasn't a failure, but it wasn't successful because the environment wasn't conducive to conversation, and we felt like we were in a classroom. So we had this one in a parish, I guess it's a reception room, and it was just very comfortable. It felt like a living room, and we were able to keep on topic and keep everybody involved. It's really important that everybody speaks their mind. If we've got one or two people dominating the conversation, we're not doing our job.
So you didn't take it personally, and you didn't take the criticism harshly. You just moved venues.
Right, right.
Good for you. You mentioned that a six-month evaluation, it's been said of you from some people, I've done a little background research, that you're a metrics person, you're a statistics person, you're kind of data-driven. You like to get to the bottom of things. Is that a fair assessment of your leadership, MO?
Well, is that leadership? Asking questions is something I don't ever get tired of, and I generally can find we had our auditor's initial report this month, and I found more in the audit than a bunch of numbers, and people were kind of surprised. It took a lot longer to go through our audit because we were looking at things like the trend analysis for the tonnage of garbage hauled into the dump, and people were like, what page are you on? And I said, well, did y'all read the 700 pages or not? So I don't think that's leadership. That's as much showing by example what our charge is and what level of involvement we have to maintain as policymakers. It's easy to get too into the detail of the data and not keep the big picture in mind.
Well, but going through statistics on garbage shows a true dedication to the cause, does it not?
But that is my history.
And you said when you said it was time-consuming, you never expected it would be time-consuming to look through garbage.
Oh, no. You know, when we get a council agenda, we've started getting them all electronically, and we get a 400-page council agenda and a 300-page auditor's report, I don't think anybody ever thought we were going to have to do that much reading. I'm sure, you know, it's not normal to read all of it, but that's kind of what I do.
For those of you who are joining us today, this is Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald with the KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series, and I have the pleasure today of talking with Waco Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr. Earlier, we briefly mentioned the sense of collaboration that's kind of sweeping over Waco, and I wanted to talk about it in a little greater depth. You held a new intergovernmental meeting in January, which was really quite unprecedented, with the boards of MCC, WISD, and the county commissioners. Several commissioners told me it was the first time they could remember being invited to the party, so to speak, right? How hard was it to orchestrate that? Was it your idea? I mean, how did you pull this off?
It was remarkably easy once we started talking about it. Commissioner Gibson actually reminded us that we had held joint meetings with the city and the county back earlier in his term. And we said, well, that's a good idea. We want to include the school district because we're doing so much work on our Prosper Waco initiative that we've really been working closely with that intergovernmental committee. And then MCC heard about it and said, well, they wanted to come too because they're involved in the job training and the educational component of Prosper Waco. So it was really easy to do. The hardest part was figuring out where we were going to seat all those people and give them a microphone and be sure the TV could view them, because as much as we wanted to all be together in the room talking, we really wanted to get the community awareness. We wanted to raise the community awareness of this importance of community issues that we do all agree on. Well, we don't all agree on all of them, but we can come together and talk about them in a, you know, in a civic manner that's, that, you know, shows some commonality.
But why now? I mean, why is everybody holding hands and having this kumbaya moment now? Is it personalities? Is it the stars are aligned? I mean, what is it that's happening?
It's I think it's something that's going across the country, and the more people I talk to say it's because the realization that resources are finite, that we can't continue doing business the way we did because everybody's budget's constrained, their resources are limited, and that there's a lot of duplication. And so the more we can work together, the more waste we eliminate and the more voice we have. We heard from a representative in Austin who said that if you come together before us as a county, a city, and a school district, and a community college, you have much more validity and credence than just coming before us as a city council. And we get those people all the time. But if you can bring all those groups together and speak with one voice, you have a better chance of being heard.
Well, you say this is sweeping across the country, but some would argue that Washington is not doing this and Austin is not doing this. So,
you know, local government is so much more rewarding.
So you have no aspirations to go to Austin or Washington?
No. But, that's one of the real attractions to this job for me, and I think all the rest of the council members, that is, it's nonpartisan. We're called to be the government closest to the people, and we take that charge literally. We had a meeting last week to talk about dance club permits, and I never thought that'd be something we could spend so much time on, but it's important to our citizens and a group of people that we need to hear from, so we're going to listen.
You've tackled a bunch of pretty heavy issues in your tenure so far, which is not quite a year up. The poverty rate, Prosper Waco, as you mentioned, the riverfront expansion, bicycle lanes, downtown development, even the overtake of the Humane Society. Meanwhile, you're overseeing a $218.6 million budget.
No, I don't oversee it.
You don't oversee
no,
it?
No, the city manager.
No.
We set broad policy goals. Okay. The city manager and his staff do a tremendous job with our budget. But, no, we're enjoying the hard work and the time that all our previous leaders have spent. I'm just the lucky one that came along at this point in time. But all this work was started previously with other mayors and other school boards, and it's Pat Atkins and I are working extremely close together. Well, and it's
the WISD school board president.
WISD, and it's something that he remarked last week. He said, "I just don't think I've seen it at this level since I've been here, and I think it is, it's a real incentive for us to do what we set out to do."
So is it just personalities, people willing to listen to one another, willing to check their politics at the door, willing to do what's best for Waco?
I think there really is a community spirit, and I think the more we make people aware of it, and that really is about all we can do, is set the agenda and bring people to the table to talk. We don't have any real power in this job. And so the more we raise the awareness of that ability to talk and to agree on things, the more buy-in there is.
How do you partition your time? How do you figure out which issues to devote or concentrate on or pour more resources in?
It's generally a matter of what the schedule, what I can get in my schedule. I have, you know, certain things I have to do to prepare for every council meeting, and then we've got different council committees, and the rest of the time's free. So I have plenty of time to go to more meetings.
Well, it's been said that when you took over this job, you said you were not going to go to ribbon-cutting type events, that you were going to.
I did
to.
Say that, yes.
So have you backtracked on that,
Absolutely.
Eddie? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Why? The cake is really good at those functions?
Well, you know, a lot of times it's people that I know and respect, and they're doing what they can for the community. And for me to say no just because it didn't fit my schedule or I didn't want to do it would not be very community-minded. And each time I go to these, I'm just more impressed with how many people are involved here, how many different projects, programs, initiatives are underway that, you know, just trying to get a sense of all those is really difficult. But it's very refreshing, and that's what makes community service fun.
Sounds like you're learning a lot as well.
I'm learning a lot, yeah.
Maybe more.
I learn something new every day.
More than you want?
No. Ask my wife.
One of the issues you've tackled has been, trying to tackle, is the city's poverty. Lowering the poverty rate, the new program, which once was called Poverty to Prosperity and now is Prosper Waco. And I can't do it without thinking of Dr. Spock and his V with his hands. It sounds much more optimistic, Prosper Waco, than the previous name. You know, are you optimistic that this can be accomplished? I mean, what's your goal? What's your part in this?
I am. We've had several meetings with a consultant that WISD hired, Dr. Pearson, and when she heard the poverty name in our initiative, she just threw up her hands and said, "You can't do that." And she said, "I don't care what you call it, but you don't need to be ramming it in people's face every day that you're working on poverty. Let's talk about what the good things are, what we can do to reduce the barriers to access, but don't just say we're trying to fix poverty." And I think that's a legitimate goal, and I think it's part of our mission. So, yeah, I think we can get something done.
And that's also a big collaboration. You have the Education Foundation, the WISD. Dr. Bonnie Kane has a part in this with Dr. Pearson, who's going to be housed in a different facility, and your staff.
Well, in Baylor.
And
Baylor's
Baylor,
integral. See, Baylor was actually the School of Social Work got us started on this when they prepared our, it was a set of volumes about 13 notebooks long. They did a complete study on
which
poverty.
You read the whole thing up, right?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. I really didn't. But Judge Starr is committed to this, and everybody on his staff that we've dealt with from the administration to the School of Social Work wants to participate in this. And they're actually helping us with some housing for Dr. Pearson with WISD. So
many moving parts to this one project.
Poverty is so complex. The more I read about it, the more I appreciate this thing called collective impact. There's a lot of work done at Stanford School of Social Work, I believe, that talks about how when you get something this complex, it takes a very collaborative effort on a broad scale to move the needle. And so that's why it's so important that we build these relationships. We build the case for it, and we build the relationships, and then we come together and try to do the work.
It's a very lofty goal. To play devil's advocate, it's been tried in the past. What's going to make this one different? What's going to make this initiative actually work?
I think what's been tried in the past is more about trying to eliminate poverty from the standpoint of giving impoverished people a handout. And this is more about creating opportunities. And there's so many barriers to them having those opportunities. I mean, that's how we first started talking about healthcare, is just having access to basic healthcare is something that a person in poverty doesn't. They don't learn how to access it. All they do is go to the emergency room. So we've got to create a tremendous amount of health education. We've got to create transit systems that respond to people in needs. We've worked with Sanderson Farms now. We've got a really good participation in a ride to work program that we've done with them, and we're looking at other partnerships through the Workforce Commission. there's just a whole lot of different things that we can do that make it easier for them without trying to give them a handout.
If you're just joining us now, this is Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald on KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series, and I have the honor today of talking to Waco Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr. A lot of issues that you're constantly dealing with. Do you ever get tired?
I do. I told my wife I went off the merry-go-round last week because it was just one of those weeks that it was. We had the joint meeting, and we had meetings with several other people, and I just said, I gotta stop. But, you know, weekend comes, and I get refreshed, and I'm ready to go again.
Just to backtrack, give readers a little background, I understand that the joint meeting was so complicated that there was a pre-meeting before the joint meeting. Is that true? Kind of a pre-practice meeting? I mean, it even...
No. We've had several meetings that were facilitated by the Cooper Foundation to talk about what the issues were and how we were going to deal with them, how we were going to discuss them. And so, yeah, we did have two or three meetings like that.
Well, it seemed to come across flawlessly on the television, at least. And I was there in person, and everyone seemed to even have enough space up on that stage.
Yeah, it was good. I'd like to be able to get more interaction, but we once we got down that road, the city attorney reminded me we were not posted for public comment, so we had to stop that. But the county judge told me after that was over that he thought it was very beneficial and he wants to do it again. So I expect us to have more of these.
You think maybe once a quarter?
I don't think that's out of the question. You know, we're meeting with the county commissioner's court on our intergovernmental committee every other month, and we meet with the school board every other month. So that a joint meeting of all of them every quarter would be.
So you're going to need to name these differently because they're both intergovernmental. So we're going to have intergovernmental A and intergovernmental B?
No, or... one school and one's county.
How do you keep it all straight?
I don't.
You
city,
don't?
The city secretary does.
Do you have a good, really good staff that you rely upon?
No.
No.
You're looking at it. No, the city manager's administrative staff, he's got three people up there on his floor that coordinate his schedule, and I give them mine, and so they keep us on track.
Any ideas or ideals that you want citizens to keep in mind or to convey to them? I mean, as far as being part of the leadership process themselves, obviously you've taken on a big piece, a big chunk, right? But what can citizens do?
We rely on citizens for a lot of our legwork. We have, I think, a report we got last week, we have almost 400 citizens involved in boards and commissions of the city. And we have a very high percent. We don't have very many empty spots right now, but we turn over those. We have an application that's online. We have a description of all the boards and their members on the city secretary's website. And we really work at getting good representation on those, and we respond to the work that they do. They make recommendations to the council, and it's like neighborhood associations. We value the input of our citizens that want to work on these committees or want to be involved in neighborhoods, whatever.
So here's an open invitation to listeners. Don't just complain or earmark a problem, but you can actually go to this website and look at a committee of an issue that you might particularly be interested in and try to get on it or serve or be involved?
Right. Absolutely. So, we welcome input.
Good. So in May, you're going to end your first year as mayor. How would you rate your first year, and what are your goals for in the next year?
Well, it's too early to tell. I mean, I think if we can get, like I told you, if we can get to June and have actually made some progress on the things we identified as goals of council, with our council hires, then I will consider it a success.
Not everything's gone flawlessly in your term, although there have been a lot of praise. Criticisms include that Waco downtown tailgate throwdown in November. It was about $35,000 and 500 people showed up downtown. It was a great idea, just perhaps not many people came out. It was kind of maybe you could term it a bust.
Do I get credit from that?
No. As mayor, unfortunately, you probably get your name.
I was there. I agree.
Okay.
It was not done as well as we could have done it. And I've been in discussions with people at Baylor about they have a very big organization that supports weekend activities around football games or any other athletic event, and we're certainly going to get them involved. We're setting up more meetings with Baylor and with Downtown Merchants to make it better. So it's a learning curve. So, I think the idea to get people downtown is very worthwhile. But this was our first one, and we got to get better.
So you didn't take it personally. You just retooled and refocused right. And looked at the numbers, and you're already starting to organize a new way to make it more successful.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't do any good to just sit around and critique the last one. Let's figure out where we want to go and bring some more people around the table to talk about it.
Well, you've been very successful bringing people downtown with some of the loft departments. The farmers market is thriving, and actually, aren't you going to open additional days, or perhaps
we've said that was a goal, but we don't have the vendor support yet. The vendors are a little concerned about diluting their Saturday market experience, so we're still talking about that. We got a request from Baylor today to have a market at Baylor a couple of times a year, which I think
really
the Baylor community has been very supportive of the market.
Obviously, big excitement with regards to the riverfront expansion, the stadium, and the river as a big piece of downtown.
And we're getting ready to release our request for proposals for all the city-owned land on the river between, I guess it's actually between Franklin and Interstate 35. The city owns a pretty significant piece of land, several tracts, and we're looking for a master developer to come in and partner with us in developing the rest of that, and it will be catalytic. That was the charge for Imagine Waco for the Downtown Development Corporation to be the catalytic developer of downtown, and we're working at that.
A decade ago plus, there was a big meeting held downtown, and they said a key piece is this river. And I think all the forces have come together to realize that. And I think citizens seem to be behind you on this as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other important part about the stadium is that it's at the very end of our downtown. And so the more we can develop between downtown and the stadium, the more we'll draw those two ends together.
Before we go, can I ask you, what's your hardest decision that you've had to make as mayor so far?
Well, the stadium discussions were very difficult because I don't know if it was in the public much, but Baylor had requested a considerably larger sum, and it was
than the $35 million.
Yeah, and so we had to have a lot of discussion with our TIF board members, and we have partners. You know, we have the school district and the county, and MCC is our partners in the tax increment district. So that took a lot of discussion and a lot of structuring to get to a comfort level. But once we did, everybody realized it was the best place to be. I mean, Baylor was appreciative and our partners, so we felt good about it. But that was tough.
Do you ever have frustration in getting the word out to the community? Because I still hear people saying, well, they gave Baylor $35 million. Well, they didn't. It's for public access, for sewers, and you know, it's all for public access. But that part seems to get left out.
Yeah, it is. And it's a difficult concept to understand, a tax increment district
finance.
To start with. It didn't come out of the city's general fund budget.
Right.
It didn't come out of their tax dollars. And it didn't raise anybody's taxes. It came out of the tax funds that were from the development over the last 30 years of the river. So it was dedicated for removing blight and improving development in downtown, and I think it's doing that.
So looking forward, we have an exciting river expansion and hopefully really take a bite out of poverty and help several segments of the community this next year of your term.
And I don't think we can underestimate the importance of the change going on in healthcare. And we're in a lot of ways victims, but I think there are things that we can do as a community to promote a healthy community, to promote the network of our healthcare providers that they're working together better than they've done in my memory too. So I just think health is going to be a big topic.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to us today. This is Sandra Sanchez with the Waco Tribune Herald, and I've had the pleasure today of talking to Waco Mayor Malcolm Duncan Jr. Thank you.
Thank you.
This program was recorded January 28th, 2013, at the KWBU Studios.